Tausch with Babe Winkleman Tauscher. So who actually caught this giant fish?
I mean,
it was a team effort. I know there is no I in team.
Yeah,
but there isn't fishing.
So, I'm gonna stick with it. It was a team effort. It was not me that caught. I mean,
okay, was really the crucial part of the that was the information I was really seeking. All right, well, congratulations on not catching the fish, but you were on part of the team that did. I want to get to this though, because Tom Brady sat down with Stephen A. Smith. And during the course of the conversation, unbeknownst to your draft class classmate, he agreed with you. But he also, in my opinion anyway, sounded a little bit like get off my lawn guy. When I was a player, you had to be really smart to play this position. So I want you to listen to this and tell me if Tom Brady is a little grumpy old man yelling at a cloud when it comes to his assessment of today's quarterbacks. Here's Tom Brady with Stephen A. Smith.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. Mm-hmm. And the program is ultimately, like at Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached, to deal with winning games, to deal playing, to deal in Columbus, Ohio in front of 110,000 people. Right. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy. It's just a pity that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better the next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level, so they're just going to teach them where they're at.
All right, Tausch, tell me I'm wrong.
No, he sounds super old, crusty, and, you know, back in my day guy. And he's only been out of the league a year. Now, he's played 20, so
sure.
He is definitely the get off my lawn, old man yelling, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't mean a lot of what he's saying, there's some validity to
it. No doubt.
But what I will say, it's more about the amount of time and practicing that guys used to do compared to now. The idea that some of these young players, it's being dumbed down. No, it's just different. The systems are different. There's a lot of moving parts. And in today's day and age, it's got to be a little bit different because of how much more athletic the game has gotten. So I think Tom's point, where I agree with Tom, is quarterbacks shouldn't be playing in their first year in the NFL. It's a whole different animal, and most guys get eaten up, spit out. Not all. Tom Brady would not have been Tom Brady if he had to play right away.
No.
He knows that. We have gone ad nauseum on this topic, but guys are still – you're playing young quarterbacks because you don't have anybody better. They're good. They're good athletes. They're dynamic because they're getting drafted high. And there is a pressure that is put on front offices that force them to do this. That's why it's happening. And to say, well, it's dumbed down and everything else, I'm not buying that. I don't buy that component of it. It's different. And I think the thing he said that was real interesting there, that you have to kind of coach where guys are at. Mm-hmm. That's one of the best things that's happened in the last 15 or 20 years.
So
it's always, hey, this is what we do, and if you can't do blah, blah. If you're doing that, that is for most players because somebody else can come in and do what that is. But when you're talking about Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick, you know, guys with this different skill sets at that position, it used to not get embraced and focused on, and it has been a dynamic part of a lot of quarterbacks in the last 10 or 15 years that has made the game a lot different when it comes to quarterback mobility and what you're asking of what strains you put on defenses. It's forced defenses to adjust to it. So that part of Tom's process, disagree with. But the fact that the quarterback should not play right out of the jump, couldn't agree more.
All right, so here's a couple things. First of all, I think I've told this story before, but if not, I don't really care because Aaron Rodgers told the story inaccurately to Ian O'Connor in his book that had something to do with me, so I'm irritated with him right now. But he said that Matt LaFleur's offense, when they first installed it, was basically paint by numbers. It was any dummy could run it, right? And we've had this conversation many times before about how both Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan realized that while their offense was designed in a way that you didn't have to be Tom Brady to be productive in it, they came to the realization that to win the big one, you still needed someone special. And that's why they both tried to acquire Rodgers. That's why they, obviously, the 49ers tampered with Rodgers and then drafted Trey Lance.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well, did they get fined?
No, they never even. The Packers did not bring a grievance because they knew they wouldn't win. But what I'm saying is that Aaron Rodgers told us this, or said this, maybe not publicly, years ago. I don't understand why this is such a terrible thing to say, though. Like, if you can design an offense to make it more simplistic so guys can be productive in it, and you don't have to bide your time for as long as Tom Brady did at Michigan and in New England, welcome to 2024, man. Like, the world is not the way it used to be. I would like it to be. I'd love to go back to where Tom's talking about, because back then, as a beat writer, I had more opportunity to tell you what was important as opposed to, ooh, I need to write this because it'll get more clicks. Like, the world has changed. The game has changed. Journalism has changed. Everything has changed. We're not going back.
No, we're not, and it's not. And I think what you're saying about, well, from a coaching standpoint, it's a good thing to simplify and to dumb it down. Players, you know how the egos of players and coaches are. And you know, you lived it. Mike McCarthy constantly had to, well, you only are any good because of Aaron Rodgers. That was it. And if you don't think that that bothers people, I know it would bother you. If that's what, you know, I don't know how I'd even phrase it. Oh, the pen, your pen is so good that it was able to allow you to write better, or however it would be, your editor makes you.
People only listen to the show because of Tausch.
So when you start focusing on that component to it, that irritates people. But if I'm a coach, I want to be known as, man, that cat gets people open. He makes it easy
right?
for his quarterback. Like, that is. That's a badge of honor for a coach. And from a quarterback standpoint, that's why you get in these discussions of game managers. Does any quarterback want to be labeled a game manager?
No, of course not.
They don't. Every quarterback wants to be known as, man, that cat's special. What he does with his off-platform throws. And you got Mahomes whipping a ball backward behind his back. And that stuff feeds the ego. And the reason Tom Brady's the greatest of all time is he, for the longest time, kept his ego in check. And he did make it more about the whole. And a lot of guys didn't. And not to say that is what the biggest differentiator is. Tom Brady is really, obviously, a really good football player. But the talent is nobody, including Tom Brady, would say he's as talented as Aaron Rodgers. Or that he's as talented as Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. Nobody would say that. And that's why he was a seventh-round pick and not a first-round pick. But what he did do, and that's what frustrates him, is I think that he felt like he had to go through a lot that maybe he wouldn't have wanted to, but he knew that's what he needed to. And these guys maybe don't. they don't have to go through that same slog and grind. And I think that's where the old man, and that's where the whole, well, I walked uphill both ways to school. And,
right.
Oh, you guys.
Barefoot.
I had 53 padded practices. You had 14. Well, looking back at it, now I have a hard time playing pickleball. My knee's jacked up. I'd love to have only had 13 padded practices and still and made 7x the money. And this, like, but that's not the reality of the scenario. And that's where I think guys that get out of the league have to just kind of come to grips, understand, and then move forward with your comments, because a lot of times you do sound like a crotchety old man when you talk.
Yeah, Matt in West Bend says exactly what I was referring to. I'm sure he texted it before I said it. Brady's comments remind me of Rogers' take on the LaFleur system when Matt came to Green Bay. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of when I listened to this. But I guess my other point is that if they had the off-season program that you have, or you had as a player, and quarterback school, and if you stayed at a school to develop the way Tom Brady did, then you would be able to handle these other aspects of the job that these guys aren't being asked to, but they're not given the opportunity because that's not the world we live in. So you can yell at the cloud all you want, but yeah, I would like it if college football had NIL and the kind of things that players are going to have at their disposal, and yet there wasn't all the movement. So I actually knew who the hell the Badgers quarterback was, which I feel like before this era, I always was on top of. And now, is it Tyler Van Dyke? I mean, there's a story in the State Journal I need to catch up on reading about him, but there's no connectivity. There's not like Brooks Bollinger, right, who was here for a long time. Like, it's just different. But that's too bad. That's the way it is. And you still have to be a very smart person to play offense in the NFL, to know the playbook, to know all the checks and the changes that are required. You cannot be a moron and be successful in the NFL. I'm sorry. So to downplay it as, well, we were so much smarter than these guys have to be. No, come on. Yeah. You don't think these wide receivers and tight ends with the route trees and option routes and having to read the defense and having to have the playbook memorized isn't hard?
I think there is a very small percentage of guys that are such freakazoids athletically that they don't need to necessarily
small group
be Einstein,
though. Agreed?
Be Einstein when they're playing football. Very small, but to say none is I can't let you homer that.
I can't. So very few. Very, very, very few. Okay? Better?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. We're gonna move on from Tom Brady. It is great that he agrees with you. But again, I don't know what Caleb Williams is going to do. I have seen, did anybody see the Tua conversation he had with Dan Le Batard? Did you see that the other day? And calling, Brian Flores a bad person for the way he was treated?
That's not great.
That was strong. Yeah. But anyway, we'll move on from Tom Brady. I do want to get to power rankings and something that our good friend Rob Domofsky wrote. We'll do that coming up after Tausch tells us about Kohler Services.
Oh, indeed. Now is the time to beat the heat with a refreshing new shower or bath from Kohler Services, family-owned. 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer, providing care for life. And this month only, you get 0% interest financing for 12 months and a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWO.com to request your free quote. And fast professional installation. Well, that is always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
Power Rankings Tuesday is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jesse loves Tuesdays because he loves Power Rankings Tuesday. I don't, especially. Sometimes it's meaningful, but I've made my opinion
Did
on
it. Did you say especially or especially?
I think I said especially, but I would quickly add that I don't have a problem with Brian Bulaga saying it the way he does. That said, especially during the preseason, I think it's perilous to be too prisoner of the moment, Pommy, about power rankings. But I do think it's instructive today just because of how we're kind of, I don't want to say second-guessing what we thought of the Packers, but certainly wondering, okay, was I maybe overestimating them a bit? Did I need a kind of a reality check of another team going against them in a practice?
I'm looking forward
to Thursday.
Yeah, where do you think Matt LaFleur's concern level is with the offense?
I think he's a little concerned. I don't think he's like panicked.
What is most concerning to him?
I think he still feels like they have not protected Jordan well, even in practices where he can't get hit. So I think he's a little worried about that. And I don't know how he feels about the run game, for starters, right? Because the fact that they did not play A.J. Dillon, I don't know how you can interpret it anything other than he's the number two running back.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. I don't know. And Matt LaFleur's not going to get up
98%.
That's what I heard. Somebody told me that. I can't remember who said that publicly. But the bottom line is that I think he's probably a little bit like, okay, we got to get a little tougher on these guys. We got to get after him a little bit this week. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's super worried, but I think he's mildly concerned. I'd be curious to see how he answers questions today, though, at 150. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Jesse, it's time for Power Rankings Tuesday.
Where are you at? Where's your concern level at?
Well, I'm not worried at all because,
Well, I know you don't care because you're not a fan, but should Packer fans be concerned? Because, listen, I think I don't want to be sitting here and saying, well, don't worry about it. It's all the backups. But the fact that the lunch has been handed and the offense has not had a great camp.
Humbled.
Consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got their brakes beat in a little bit, a lot, in Denver. Do we have to start looking at and start wondering, did this offense progress? What are we going to see in Brazil? Is this going to be an efficient how the season ended? Or are we going to have some growing pains with this group again starting down in Brazil? I know you don't know the answer to that, but what's your gut telling you this thing moving forward?
I appreciate you acknowledging that I can't say for certain. My gut tells me that they are struggling to find that rhythm that they had to end the season. And they made it look... I think their offensive line... The only guy that's really practiced every day is the guy that everyone thought was going to get replaced by the first-round pick.
Sheed.
Which I think is wild, right? I mean, I told Brian yesterday, I give Elgton Jenkins a little bit of a hard time that he's on kind of this quasi-big Lamborghini, Cliffy, Bulaga, Bakhtiari schedule. He doesn't seem old enough to be on that. But he did have an ACL tear, which I had forgotten about at one point. But I think there's reason to be a little leery of where they're at because the protection... Because I think it takes a while to recalibrate your chemistry with your receivers. And we've seen plays where it's been really good between Love and his guys. And then we've also seen situations where, one guy goes one way, one guy goes another. I'm trying not to make too big of a deal out of this, but I am very curious and I want to talk to him this week about it. Luke Musgrave has been... I'm not going to say invisible, but he has had a very quiet camp, and he was like the most buzzworthy of the guys last year in camp, right? We're talking about he's the fastest runner at miles per hour and all this other stuff. And so I don't get the sense, and this is no, I don't think it's realistic to expect this, But it sounds like they're just picking up where they left off last season.
No, you're not. But, I mean, you're bringing back everybody. Like, there's not like it's some, well, we're losing Devontae. How are we going to adjust? Like that. So that's why I think, and this isn't the first day of camp, or this isn't the, you know, first day off season. You would hope at this point you'd see more, or you'd feel better about it.
Correct.
And again, I am not going to overreact to a preseason game that none of them played in. I'm not going to do it, but they threw one great, you know, during the Cleveland game, the tuttered out Wicks. That's awesome. And then, whoop, and that's the new NFL, is that you're going to limit how much risk you put on these guys. And you're going to give up a little bit. The season's a little longer. You got 17 games instead of 16. You're going to give a little bit of growth opportunities, and it ain't going to always look as pretty, but if you're going to continue to kind of steamroll and build off of last year, this is a team that is built to do that.
Sure.
Because the chemistry, they do the off-season stuff, they're still young, they're flying. You know, that's why I think I'm not concerned, but the fact that you're saying what you're saying, and Matt LaFleur, well, however you want to interpret what he said, he's not overly thrilled about his offense as we sit here. I think you do have to start questioning and wondering, like, okay, well, we're only 2 weeks out.
Correct.
From playing.
All right. I want to get further into this with you.
It's probably a good idea to get your blank together.
Yeah, I want to get further into this with you because I've used the 2021 group as an example, and I also want to talk about what exactly you think Matt LaFleur should do in the preseason game then on Saturday. Okay? So we'll get to that coming up. Yeah. So what you should do is, if you've got a driveway that's starting to look like mine, you need to make the call to Johnson & Sons Paving.
The Kelly call, am I right?
Nice.
Summer is here, but before you know it, you'll be prepping for winter, and Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace. Kind of getting a little long with that. I'd like that bell to go a little bit quicker, just like I'd like for you to get your driveway done a little bit quicker. If there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking, don't scare your customers or your tenants with a bad parking lot. Connect with Johnson & Sons Paving today. Get those minor repairs fixed before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
The bell
Jesse,
is long.
Jesse, you're
going
to commit. If I call... Yeah, it's not. I want the ding to be a little bit quicker. He's waiting 2-3 seconds now, adding the drama, instead of just hammering it right after I say repair.
You can keep going when I hit the bell. It doesn't, like, it's not like you can't talk over
repair.
It. Like, look, here, you can just hit the
reseal.
Bell.
Reseal.
And you can keep talking, and it's not bothering anybody.
Yeah, but
anybody.
Look at how much quicker and
it's
fluid.
It's just going up on
it's just
the board.
More fluid.
Remember the 3 R's.
Jesse.
Reseal.
Jesse, are
repair.
You committing? Hold up.
It's pretty easy.
Are you committing to next spring? Well, I don't think we're going to be able to do it this fall. Everybody's too busy. Are you committing to coming up and helping me on Jason's driveway with Johnson & Sons Paving right now?
Yes.
Okay. I love it. We'll get this ball. We'll get this asphalt moving. Am I right?
Good job on the bell.
I want to
discuss this with Tausch next, because Brian and I spent a little time on it yesterday. Brian Bulaga, Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. But if you are Matt LaFleur and you believe that not playing your guys in preseason led to stinkalicious performances in openers, and you have 3 snaps for your offense and 8 snaps for your defense, is that really any different than not playing them at all? Nice work. We'll talk about it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, because it's all so bright.
All right, we all know
helicopter parents, helicopter beat writer. We all know that. With that, I wear that. It's 1,000% true. I am much more Ted Thompson, R.I.P. Than anybody else. Certainly not a risk taker. I always tell you, I was in Pittsburgh when their 2015 season. I understand they started hot anyway, despite the injury, but their chances of winning the Super Bowl went out the window when Jordy Nelson tore his ACL at Heinz Field. Sorry, that's what happened. And remember, they were moments away from being in the Super Bowl the previous year, so it's not like they were not a very good team the previous year. So all those things are my preconceived notions. That is where I come at this. I don't understand.
Good bias is you exhibited
acknowledgement.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
There you go. Whatever.
So forget me. Listen to Tao. She's the one who played in the league for 11 years. I don't understand how, if they don't play their starters against the Ravens on Saturday, how in the hell are you going to argue that 3 snaps for the offense and 8 snaps for the defense against Cleveland on August 10th means anything for you to be ready for the Philadelphia Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil on September 6th? Because Matt LaFleur has made the case. We sat all of our starters in preseason in 2021, and we got waxed in Jacksonville by the Saints. We sat all of our starters all preseason in 2022, and we got beat by the Vikings, worse than the 23-7 final score at U.S. Bank Stadium. Last year, we played all of our guys. Jordan played all 3 preseason games, and we went out there and beat the brakes off the Bears in Chicago. I don't personally see the causation through line there, but he says he does. So if he does, Tausch, after Thursday's joint practice, don't his starters have to play some on Saturday? If that's what he believes?
No. So here's the deal, and I think he is fighting the same battles that I think a lot of coaches in today's football are, and that is, what is your main objective at this point in the season? The reason that they've added joint practices, and by the way, I was always under the impression that the Green Bay Packers were never going to give up practices.
That is what they had said.
Mm-hmm. Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they did last week.
Mm-hmm. And
so
have done
that
it 2 years in a row.
Tells you, that obviously tells you that their prioritization of what they need is joint practices. They need more of that controlled environment because getting live work and getting real work, Matt LaFleur obviously is a huge proponent of that. But the scouting department and everybody else, I think the job now is get your work in, but get everybody to Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm.
Get everybody healthy. That has been, since that Jordy Nelson incident, I do believe the Packers front office has decided this needs to be the top priority. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe Aaron Rodgers took another preseason snap after. Am I wrong on that since then?
I have to check 16 through 18.
Very limited.
I don't think so. He may have made a brief cameo. I can tell you without any doubt, because I looked it up, he never played a preseason snap for Matt LaFleur. Not one.
Correct. So, again, every team is different. I do wonder. What I don't want is a coach to kind of put his finger up and just go with the way the wind is blowing. If your belief is I'm going to do joint practices and we're not going to put Jordan Love or our preferred starters in harm's way in a preseason game, then that's what you need to do. Now, that doesn't mean you can't kind of say, well, the way we're playing, it doesn't matter. You know, not that it doesn't matter, but we need to. If we don't get this working, we're not going to be prepared to play. Well, that's why you set these joint practices up. You've been very clear about it. I don't want you to change course just because your twos had and threes had a bad day in Denver. I don't want you overreacting like fans are.
Yeah.
And if you start doing that, trouble then. then where, what are you really, what are your principles in how you're going to get your football team ready for a game? Playing football is the only way to get better at playing football, though. So I would not play my guys on Saturday, but I would make sure I would get all kinds of work, more than you probably wanted in that joint scrimmage, because this is probably going to be your last real big push before you go and play for real. So, no, I'm not overreacting. I'm not going to say, you know what, Jordan, you and your group need to go out and play 15 snaps on Saturday. And then what happens? All of a sudden, then you're second-guessing your own second guess. And that ain't a place where you want to be.
You're right. I think that's the perfect answer. I understand the desire to be able to hit the ground running. And playing the Bears last year, I don't know if they start with a harder game on their schedule. I don't think you can argue that there would have been a different view of, oh, well, we played all our guys in the preseason, but we played the, you know, pick a team X, and you get beat by them. Suddenly now, are you saying, well, we shouldn't have played those guys in the preseason? Like, I think he's playing the results game a little bit with what happened with the Bears. And then we saw some other games shortly thereafter, they didn't play all that well. So it's not like it carries through. My point is that I still think the risk is too great. And the 2021 team, they got beat 38-3 by a not very good Saints team in Jacksonville. So it's not like the Saints even had home field advantage. Uh-huh. And they still went on to have the best record in the NFC, get the first round playoff bye, and get the number one overall seed. Now, they squandered it.
Yeah.
But my point is that they had plenty of time to recover.
Yeah, I remember doing that post-game show after that whooping down in Jacksonville and fired Joe Barry and all the other stuff. And it's, you know, this is the hard part in the NFL is there's so much noise around everything that happens because everybody cares so much. And everybody's passion is so strong. You have to be able to see the forest through the trees. And sometimes it gets murky. Sometimes you don't see that big old catfish, and you don't get up and get that hook, and you don't set it properly, and you don't get it. And it's sometimes you get that monster catfish, and you go with it. You got a look at that beauty. The thing, you have to have your beliefs. You have to know what your team needs to be at its best. And in today's NFL, you're not going to roll and have everything run smoothly. There's going to be days like Denver. There's going to be times when this stuff happens, and you have to be willing to fight through it, take the criticism, and say, it doesn't matter. I know what we're doing is going to work. It's a process. You'd only hear, it's a process. Well, when it's going great. Well, it also, you really need to trust your process when you have a weekend like you did in Denver. And if you don't trust that process, then I don't know how much you actually trust your process.
Yeah. You're right. All right. I want to get to the power rankings quickly because we have a I've got goosebumps. I just watched the trailer again for Just a Bit Outside, the documentary on the 1982 Brewers, and I can't wait to get to that conversation. So we'll get to the power rankings that we teased at the beginning of the 10 o'clock hour. Next, Tausch, you're going to tell us about Quick Trip in the next segment. I'm going to tell you now about my friend David Gruber, and he is a friend, and I appreciate how he is there for me whenever I have a legal question. But I never want to have him actually represent me, if that makes sense, because that means I've been seriously injured in an accident, and I don't want that to happen. But if it does, that's the place to call. One call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Go to the website, find out everything you need to know about the firm, gruber-law.com. But again, all you need to know is the number, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. More next. It's Will Dean Tausch.
The countdown to game day is on.
You got playmakers around you. Pretty excited to roll this fall.
Throws to the end zone, and it's caught. It's a Wisconsin touchdown.
Nobody covers the Badgers like 100.5 ESPN.
Remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild, and free. When I close my eyes, I could see you in my
my sweatshirt, dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are.
All right, Jesse. So we can get to just a bit outside the 1982 Brewers documentary that our friend Kelly Call is involved in. Let's get to
ask him about Dallas, what time Dallas is on, or can you even name a show on CBS?
CSI, FBI.
Is it still on?
Yeah, I think so.
Power rankings of the top 10 CBS shows of all time.
I just got done saying I want to get to them on time. Don't distract me with J.R. Ewing and your timely references of CBS programming. And by misrepresenting me bringing... I was trying to get him to give pub to other shows that did exist. I did not ask what time Murder, She Wrote is on. Jesse, I am asking, where are the Packers in the power rankings?
They are number 10 in the ESPN NFL power rankings, which is where they were in the post-draft rankings. In front of them, at number 9, the Cincinnati Bengals. 8, the Miami Dolphins. 7, the Buffalo Bills. 6, the Houston Texans. 5, the Philadelphia Eagles. 4, the Detroit Lions. 3, San Francisco 49ers. 2, this week's preseason opponent, the Baltimore Ravens. And number 1, the two-time defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs. If you're curious, checking in at number 11, just behind the Packers, Mike McCarthy's Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Any gripes with the list, old T?
I don't have a ton of gripes about it. I just think it's a new season. The Green Bay Packers are going to be a good football team. I think they're going to be sniffing around, you know, where they need to be. There's going to be other teams that will be right there, and somebody will emerge. So I'm not interested. Like, I don't think Green Bay should be a top 3 team in the NFL right now. Are they top 10? Absolutely. I think they'd be closer to 5 than 10. That's just my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But am I mad about it? Not even a little bit. I think it's about right where they should settle in.
All right, that has been your Power Rankings Minute. Tausch, tell us about Quick Trip quickly so we can get to Kelly to talk about the 82 Brewers and Murder, She Wrote.
Well, in the summer, there is nothing quite like a stop at Quick Trip. And while I'm on the road, you can get an ice-cold, refreshing drink like an ice-cold Coke. And this summer just got a whole lot cooler with the Quick Trip and Coca-Cola pull tab game. The Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab pull tab game. You play it daily this summer in your Quick Rewards app. You enter in to win that weekly winner drawing where Quick Trip is giving away a total $500,000 this summer. 10 weekly winners will get $25,000 each. And one final week winner gets $250,000. It's $500,000 given away just for playing the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game on the Quick Rewards app. You can even earn extra chances to win by using your Quick Rewards every time you purchase Coke, Monster Energy, Powerade, Body Armor, Smart Water, or Core Power Elite products. Download the Quick Rewards app today. See quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for full details.
Kelly Call, who has been on our show before, a UW-Madison alum and the creator of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Brewers, and Sean Hanisch, who is the director of said documentary, also a native Wisconsinite and UW-Madison alum, join us to talk about the documentary that I cannot wait to see. I will be more than happy to leave my basement for this. Murder, She Wrote is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.